This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Hello, welcome back to another video. Whether you are watching on YouTube or you're listening on the podcast, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, comment, all of the things. Today, I'm going to talk about how to not ruin a relationship. Whether you are manifesting a relationship or you're already in one, getting a relationship and keeping a healthy relationship are two completely different skill sets. It's really easy to lure someone in and with the excitement of meeting someone new, have that natural spark. Even if there is a good match there, you can easily sabotage a good relationship by not maintaining your own emotional well-being, by not investing in your own personal health, your own wellness. So in this video, I'm going to give you three ways that people typically sabotage their own relationships, even if they are a good match. Plus, you'll be able to know this and understand this so you can avoid it in your relationship, whether you're single or whether you're dating, it doesn't matter. This is great to apply not only to romantic relationships, but also with your friendships and your family if you have to. The first way that people sabotage their relationships is by not focusing on healing their own traumas. You don't know what your triggers are. You don't know what triggers you. You don't know where they came from. You're just reacting to life and reacting to what other people say. So a lot of the arguments or the conflicts that you may be having in your relationships or your friendships can simply stem from a trigger that you have that you're not aware of and someone else is triggering by accident. Maybe they're doing it on purpose, but chances are they are accidentally triggering you because there's not a common understanding and you haven't dealt with the trigger. A lot of people choose to go to therapy for this. This is something that you can do on your own if you want to. Getting down to the root cause of your problems, allowing yourself to feel whatever pain you need to feel and moving past it. You have to close the chapter on whatever has happened and choose to move forward. Or at least you have to be able to observe yourself in a way where you can clearly tell if you're being triggered. You know the things that typically trigger you, you know why they trigger you, and when they come up, when they happen, you're able to catch yourself and adjust your perspective a little bit in the moment so you don't have an emotional reaction to something that isn't personal. It's just something that reminds you of a traumatic situation or reminds you of a past pattern that you have dealt with. This is perfectly normal. You don't have to judge yourself or feel bad about it. You have to choose to move forward and choose to no longer allow this event, situation, habit, pattern to affect your daily life in the present. It's time for you to say, that's it, I'm done, no more. once you're able to make that decision for yourself, it really shows in your friendships and your relationships, because you are actively putting in the work to deal with your problems. So when you're communicating with others, you're able to communicate efficiently, and the other person is going to feel safe in your presence, and it's just going to be a lot more productive. So what used to be a huge argument in your past now can just be a simple conversation that you have. You can understand other people's perspectives because you're no longer in your fight or flight mode, because you understand, oh, they said this, and that reminded me of this past situation, which is why I'm feeling really defensive, like I have to clap back or fight back or judge the other person or do something that is not really what I want to do. It's just an emotional reaction. So once you're aware of this happening, it's a lot easier to kind of detach from that and be able to take a moment to calm down and to let yourself cool down so you can think about how you actually want to respond and how you actually feel about the current situation. Because when these triggers come up, you're not yourself. You're brought back to a past moment or a past situation, and you're brought back to that emotional state where it came from. You're not in the present moment. So when you're able to acknowledge that some trigger or some situation or something someone said or something that happened brought you back into your fight or flight mode, into a past memory, you can then take that moment to cool down and come back to the present moment and figure out how you want to move forward in the situation. When we're running away from our past mistakes and we're running away from our past traumas, they have a way of haunting us. They have a way of following us into every single situation, every single new relationship, every single interaction. And they're just gonna stay there in the background until you turn around, face them, and say, you know what? I know you're there. You don't scare me. Let's talk about it. And then your trauma's kind of like, they don't go away, they never go away. But you're no longer running from them. And when you're willing to face something, oftentimes it doesn't have that same effect on you than when you're trying to like run away from it and deny that it ever happened. When you're able to acknowledge yourself, acknowledge how you felt, acknowledge how you were hurt, in whatever situation, you're able to then move forward and have more healthy, happy relationships with the people around you, and romantic relationships, of course. That moves me on to the second way that people often sabotage their romantic relationships, even after they've met someone that could be a really good match for them. This is not communicating enough. I know it sounds really obvious, like, yeah, duh, of course we have to communicate, obviously, but I'm not just talking about talking back and forth about random stuff, okay? Talking about what happened in your day, talking about TV shows, talking about trends, talking about the news, talking about current events in your life, in your family. It's not always the best form of communication. Of course, we want to talk about how our day went and what's going on with us, but that's not gonna give a lot about us, right? So you wanna make sure that you're having deeper communication than that. You're asking deeper questions than that. When you're having conversations and maybe it's a more heavy discussion, you wanna make sure that you're clear about how you feel and you clearly understand how the other person feels. So a lot of the times when we're communicating or when we hear things about someone else's past or someone else's childhood, we make assumptions in the moment. Sometimes we make assumptions assuming that the person is not as bad as they seem, and we give them the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes we make assumptions by judging someone and thinking that they're less than worthy or they've made really bad mistakes and they should be treated differently. So either way, assumptions are not going to serve you. Because if you assume that someone is good-hearted and you give them the benefit of the doubt, that could set you up to get taken advantage of. But also, if you meet a kind-hearted person and because of something you hear, you assume the worst, then you could be potentially missing out on a good relationship. You don't want to be making assumptions. You always want to get to the bottom of the situation and observe everything for what it is. So constant communication, asking the other person how they feel about things, what they think about things, what their perspectives are, even asking about things you see on the news or things you see from your past, like, oh, what do you think about that? Why do you think they did that? Asking questions like that helps you get into the person's mind a little bit so you understand how they think. That will help you develop a relationship where you just know the person so deeply, you're able to almost guess what they're gonna say, guess what they're gonna think. Communication in terms of speaking your truth is also very important. When we first meet someone, we think that we're so happy to be with them and maybe you're feeling the romance in the moment, you're kind of ignoring red flags or you're ignoring key differences between you and the other person, and you're not communicating things that bother you, communicating things that you like, things that you prefer, things that you wish were different. You're not communicating your likes and dislikes to the other person, so you will build a relationship and they will think that you like everything that's going on, but maybe there's something that you have an issue with. And so in the beginning, it doesn't bother us because it's a brand new relationship. But then 6 months in, a year in, longer, the longer you're with someone, the more annoying those little tiny things get. So what maybe didn't bother you in the beginning is gonna bother you 6 months later. But if you communicate that up front, as soon as you feel it, the other person is aware and you can come to some kind of understanding that works for both people. Instead of having these things build up, build up, build up, and then next thing you know, 6 months, 8 months, a year later, you both break up because you can't stand each other. And the reason you can't stand each other is because you never communicated things that bothered you throughout the way, and then it all built up and then you just exploded, right? We have a way of projecting problems and blowing them out of proportion. So something that could be an easy fix if communicated calmly, we blow it out of proportion by making it this huge argument and bringing other things into it, putting so much emotional weight on it, when in the grand scheme of things, it's not something that really matters that much. Okay, so unless you're having a difference that is really a deal breaker for you, then you can likely work it out through communication. You can come to some sort of compromise or some sort of understanding where both people are feeling okay and satisfied with the outcome. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing kind of thing, especially when you're going to be with someone for a long period of time. If you're planning on marriage or if you're planning on a lifelong partnership, then that's forever, right? So you want to understand that the other person's not gonna be your clone. They're not gonna be your 100% match. They're going to be someone that you choose to spend time with, you choose to be with, and they complement you. There's areas that contradict each other. It's all a beautiful balance, but you need to make sure that you know what your real deal breakers are and what your small pet peeves are, because the pet peeves and the little icks and the little things, you can work it out. You just have to have patience and understanding and constant communication. Constant, constant, constant communication. Even if you think it's, oh, I don't need to say that, it's no big deal, just say it. Get it off your chest. Okay, that way everything is clear and there's no surprises. No bad surprises. We all love good surprises, but we don't want those bad surprises that kind of knock us off our feet and we're like, oh wow, wasn't expecting that. The third way that people typically sabotage good relationships is by not having healthy boundaries. By over people pleasing others and thinking that you have to sacrifice so much to make others happy, it's not sustainable. You cannot give so much to one person and not get anything in return unless you're giving from a place of overflow. But typically, when it's our romantic relationships or really close friendships, it's not something we want to be like doing charity, right? When you're giving from your overflow, it's almost like donating extra, donating your energy, donating your time. We don't want to donate our time to people that are supposed to be our close friends. We want an equal balance. Same thing with our romantic partner. There needs to be an equal energetic exchange of some kind. So whatever it is that you are putting yourself out there and giving, make sure that you feel satisfied with what you're getting in return. Because oftentimes we overgive, and then they didn't ask for us to overgive, but we kind of expect them to reciprocate because we went out of our way to overgive or give extra energy, extra attention, extra gifts, whatever form of energy you are giving another person. Giving so much of it and then kind of expecting it in return, and then when they don't give it to you, when they don't reciprocate, you feel resentment. And so it gets to the point where this has happened to me in the past. This is why I really wanted to tell you guys, because I have ruined relationships in the past from meeting someone, getting really close really fast, and then over giving my energy, over giving my attention, expecting that kind of energy in return, not getting it, feeling resentful, until it gets to the point where I feel like I have to cut the person off because there was such an unbalance in energy and value to each other that I felt taken advantage of. I felt like the other person used me, took advantage of me, didn't appreciate everything I did. And at the end of the day, no one asked me to do that. I did that by my own choice. Nobody made me do that. So it was because of my lack of boundaries in my friendships, my lack of boundaries in relationships, that I got my feelings hurt for no reason. So had I placed healthier boundaries in those relationships, it's possible I could still have those friendships to this day. But we'll never know because that's not what happened. So once you ruin relationships, or once you cross that line and it gets to the point where you have these emotions and you feel like betrayed or taken advantage of, or the other person feels some type of way, it's really hard to mend that. It's really hard to get back to a point where you can just get back to normal and not have those patterns keep coming up. Typically, when this happens, it's because one or both people have inner work to do. They haven't dealt with their own patterns and their own issues, and they're kind of triggering each other until these things happen, right? Until you learn your lesson. So you want to make sure that you have these healthy boundaries, and this is something that you have to figure out beforehand. If you're going into a relationship, you're throwing yourself in, and you don't have a clear idea of what your boundaries are, you're going to be giving, overgiving, not giving enough. You're going to feel lost, and it's going to be very inconsistent, and you might confuse the other person. So you want to be very clear as to what you accept, what you don't accept, what are your deal breakers, how do you handle certain situations, how do you respond in certain situations, how much are you willing to give the other person, like what kind of balance do you expect from a friendship, what kind of balance do you expect in a relationship. Figure that out. I love to do this in my journal because once you write something out, it really helps you figure it out and get to the root of it, and It's a very intimate process. If you are in my quantum journaling course, you already know I love journaling. If you haven't joined the course, it's always linked in the description. Basically, it's just a lot of the journal prompts that I use for my day-to-day and when I want to manifest or alchemize some kind of negative situation. Journaling is so fun. It's so useful, and you don't need to be an expert to start. You don't need to join any courses to start. Just opening up a piece of paper and a pen and writing out your thoughts, asking yourself questions, answering honestly, that's really all you need to do. If you want to join the course, I have pre-recorded videos as well as a downloadable, printable file that you can use. So it's just more fun when you have someone to do it with and you have resources that someone else has already created. But by no means do you need to invest anything except your own time on a piece of paper and a pen. Make sure to write out what your boundaries are. Do this, start by looking back at your past relationships that didn't work or that ended poorly, or maybe you didn't end on the best terms, things that drifted apart, like what happened. Get to the bottom of that and then look at back at the relationships that don't go bad, relationships that maybe you have had for a long time. How do you handle them? Do you have kind of automatic boundaries there? From there, you'll be able to come up with ways that work for you. Of course, if you feel lost, you don't know where to start, and you just want to chat with me one-on-one, you're always free to apply for a one-on-one session. The link is in the description. With that being said, feel free to go binge watch the rest of my videos, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye. Mwah.